Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's meet Barry Nelson. Barry is 64 years of age, had non-small cell lung cancer. He's here with Dr. Christopher Latham, the medical director of Dana-Farber Cancer Institute at St. Elizabeth's Medical Center. We thank both of you for stopping in today. We'll get the headphones on the doc.
There you go.
This is amazing because I'm looking at this, Barry. You were diagnosed back in 2012, and you were told you had 18 months to live. Last time I checked, this is 2017, correct?
That's correct.
Wow. It's good to see you, sir.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Tell us your story. What happened here?
Well, as you indicated, back in March 2012, I woke up one morning, and I had this swollen. My neck was swollen. I went to see the doctor, my primary physician, and they told me, it looks like you have an infection. Come back in about a week and let's see if there's a change. And a week later, the swelling had gone down. But the next morning, it was back there again. So I made another appointment. I went back in to see my primary physician. This was on a Friday. They sent me to get an x-ray. That was late in the afternoon on Friday. When I got home that afternoon, my doctor called and said, listen, I need you to go and get a CT scan on Saturday. Can you do that for me? So I did. I went. And then on Monday morning, he called me right before, 11:30 or so and said, listen, there's something going on here. We don't quite know what it is, but I need you to make yourself available this week. And so we're going to have you to go and see some specialists. And I knew then there was something going on, but I also knew that I had some great people working with me because the specialists that I had to see that week, these aren't people that you can get an appointment with just overnight. These are people that, they're booked out for months and months and months.
They were moving you up on that list.
They moved me. Yeah. I mean, I was just like ushered through there. And at the end of the week, I got a diagnosis of advanced lung cancer, stage 3B. And, Dr. Latham, he could talk a little bit more about that. But so that's when the diagnosis came. And then, we started treatment. Initially, I received radiation treatment. I started a chemotherapy, and those therapies really didn't work for me. So we continued to look at other options and evolved to clinical trials. And the first clinical trial again didn't work for me. And then a couple of years later, Dr. Latham just encouraged me to try another trial for immunotherapy, and positive change began to occur at that time.
Doc, how does it get to the point where he sees someone and tells him that it's his 18 months to live to the point where he finishes therapy or treatments in 16 is healthy?
Right. So, I mean, this is the thing about lung cancer that I've been able to see over the last, 10 years. When I first started practicing, that's what we would say. It looks like you have lung cancer. Perhaps at the time would be maybe a year, year and a half. And what's been amazing about what's happening with Barry, he came along right at the time where we had more opportunities and more changes. He'll tell you, I had a conversation with him, a very frank conversation when he saw me after the first sets of therapies weren't working, where we talked about prioritizing things in your life.
I was gonna say, Barry, what did he say to you?
He said, listen, things can go really south for you. You're standing in a place where you think you're going to be able to manage your life in a way that you've always, it's going to be normal, but they could change for you on a minute, and that you could find yourself not able to do anything for yourself, that being totally dependent on everyone around you, needing support like you couldn't even imagine. So no one had really talked to me directly like that before, okay? So I had to make some decisions. And the decisions that I made was I had a big, beautiful home in Dorchester, two-family home. I sold that house because I didn't really need to be worrying about that. And I was working for myself as an entrepreneur. But I needed to focus on my health. And so what I did was I moved into a small 750-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment where I knew I would be able to get treatment, and I could come home, I could go to the bathroom, and I could go to the kitchen. And I would be minimal impact to my family and those who were supporting me. And it's through that process that as I took all those other elements out of my life and could begin to focus, not only on just the medication, but also my relationship with God, that this healing process began for me.
Doc, I think it's so intriguing and interesting to me. On one hand, you got to give him some frank news and honest information.
Right.
And on the other hand, you're saying, we ain't stopping.
Right.
There is no quit. There is no doors that are closing. We're going to keep looking for new treatment. It's just, it's a great lesson for not just cancer patients, but for people in general.
Right.
What you guys go through and the information that you got to give, it's got to be difficult for you to continually just look for new avenues.
It isn't. It isn't, right? The people that you talk to make you keep thinking, I have to look for another chance, another option of the treatment for them. And I think the hard talk that you talk about, that conversation, it's all about honesty. What you want and what you think is, if this person was my uncle, my brother, or my father, or my cousin, I would want to know, is this life-threatening for me? Should I be thinking about these long-term issues like my house, or should I be focusing on some other things? And it doesn't mean that there aren't other treatments. When I say to you, look, this is a very serious thing, and this disease could take your life, but I'm here and we're here. We're going to keep fighting this disease. We're going to keep looking for new treatments as long as you're physically willing and able. And we're going to keep looking even when there doesn't seem to be treatments on the horizon. That's what the clinical trials do. That's what all of this fundraising, all the great work that you guys are doing today and that people at home are listening for, this is how we make those advances. Because at one point, a conversation with Barry said there aren't many other treatments. And then suddenly he was on a clinical trial, and that was, what, 4 years ago?
That was in 14, yeah. That was 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyways, if you follow the dots, you connect the dots, it's, you talk about the money, and what we're doing right here allows you to come up with new treatments, clinical trials, which basically keeps people alive.
Right.
I mean, that's the outcome. That's how important this is.
It extends our life, and it also gives hope.
Yeah.
Because, see, no one really understands until you get a diagnosis. So many times when people get the diagnosis, the first thing they think is, I'm going to die. And, yeah, we're all going to die one day. But only God knows when that's going to happen. But a lot of times that's all people focus on, is that I'm going to leave here. So they stop living, but whatever their situation is. But when you have hope, when you have physicians, and when you have research institutions like Dana-Farber that tells you, I'm going to fight just as hard as you fight, that I have other tools in the toolbox, and we're going to use them to help you, that's the hope that people who get this diagnosis, that's what they want to hear.
And they find
they want to know that you're there with them.
And you know, Barry, they find new tools every single day.
Yes,
and that's what this is all about today. How are you feeling now?
I feel wonderful,
good,
man.
Good.
I really do. I'll share it with you. I haven't been on treatment.
Really?
Since February of 2016.
Really? Wow.
I go and see my wonderful doctor friend here every 5 months. And it's going to soon be every 6 months.
You know, but Barry, we sit here, we talk sports sometimes. You look at out in that field and Gillette and superstars and Hall of Famers, but you have them right there in this hospital, right? There's an all-star right here.
All-star.
I want to ask you about Dr. Gordon Freeman.
Yes.
Because you had an opportunity to meet him. We've talked a lot about immunotherapy earlier as well. He's one of those Hall of Fame guys. Tell our listeners who he is.
He's a wonderful man. And, you know, every time I think about him, my experience with him, you know, it's a little overwhelming for me because it's almost like meeting God. I remember when I started immunotherapy, my life changed, and so many people at the hospital and the research team, they would say, you know, I want you to meet someone. I want you to meet someone so they can see the results of their work. And so I said, sure, invite them to come, and I would meet them. And he came to my appointment with Dr. Lathan. And Dr. Lathan showed him my scans before I started immunotherapy. And then he showed him the scans after I started immunotherapy. And Dr. Freeman, I mean, he was in awe. He, you know, like you said, he's a researcher. He's behind the scenes, so he doesn't meet people. He doesn't always see the results firsthand of how, you know, the work that they're doing affects people's lives. And, you know, the first thing he asked me was about my side effects from the medication and how was I dealing with it. And what could they look at differently to help improve and administer the type of treatment that I'm receiving? I was in awe, and I've been blessed enough that I think he even calls me a friend of his. And he and I have even gone to a couple of conferences together where we speak together about this treatment and the relationship that we're building. So it's, I guess, it's been an awesome experience with him and with really all the research team that's available to you at Dana-Farber.
Dr. Freeman's the one who developed this treatment that you're on right now and the reason that you're here sitting in this very chair with us. We wish you the best of luck. We hope you're around for another 50 years, my friend.
Thank you.
All right?
I received that.
Good.
Okay.
You good.
Thank you.
You got it. Good. It's great meeting you. Great meeting you, Doc, as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.